Today I'm going to be talking about work that I have actually done primarily with Fresh Market peach growers, but it's going to apply to you folks as well. But it's basically knowing when you need to spray for oriental fruit moth and in mating disruption orchards. And it there's really nothing particularly new here. In fact, it's extremely old. Some of this work was done in the 20s and 30s, and it's been fun to go back and do see some of that work being done. And one of the major methods I'm going to be talking about, and I don't want any of the PCAs to walk on out on me here, is the use of bait traps or bait buckets for capturing oriental fruit moth. This is a technique developed late 1920s and 1930s. I think most of you know that oriental fruit moth was brought into the U.S. in Washington, D.C. on imports from Japan in about 1917. So it's been established there and distributed through the U.S. And all of the contact insecticides that had been used at that time were basically ineffective. Lead arsenate was ineffective because of the way the moth or the larvae feeds. And they were trying to detect ways of both monitoring the pest and removing it from the orchard, and the use of the bait bucket was a technique. There's a couple of really solid entomologists from Indiana that did some mark and recapturing work, and I want you to look at this closely because it has great implications on orchards that surround isolated mating disruption orchards. If you can see on the x-axis or the horizontal axis here, that represents in tenths of a mile the distance from a release point. And on the vertical axis, the number of moths recovered from a particular release point. And these were recovered in these terpenyl acetate bait bucket pans. And again, this was done in 1932, multiple times. This is only one of the studies that I've seen. So you can see here, I'm trying to show is the distance here in tenths of a mile going this way, the number of moths recovered in these bait bucket pans. We're getting migration of moths well over a mile away from the source. And the majority of these moths were caught up to close to 7/10 to 9/10 of a mile. And as I say, if you're doing a mating disruption program and you're in the midst of other orchards that are not doing that mating disruption program, there's a huge potential for migration of mated moths into your orchard, and that can be a real problem. So I just wanted to bring that piece of information out. Again, that work was done in two states. The other thing I wanted to point out here, this was 16 orchards where we utilized the guidelines developed in our mating disruption bait bucket catches and also twig strikes or terminal twig strikes in determining whether or not we needed supplemental sprays. Each of these orchards, the range of harvest dates from May into late September, were under mating disruption. There were three that were under that we utilized supplemental sprays based on the trap catches. We were using an artificial threshold of 50 moths per trap in any one generation, and the bars are, you can see here, this dark purple bar, we only found one orchard with oriental fruit moth, and that was 0.4%. This orchard late harvested about August 15th and had no supplemental sprays. The majority of damage in these orchards was all due to katydid. We had no twig bore damage. This is a real important aspect in utilizing twig strikes for detecting a treatment for OFM, is to make sure you don't have a twig bore population in here. Unfortunately, most of our dormant and bloom time sprays for twig bore have kept that population extremely low. But you can see that this particular orchard, so Henry Orchard the previous year, had not used a supplemental spray. He was next to an organic grower that had pulled the trees, and he had 5% OFM damage last year. This year we came in and made a single spray based on a treatment of or a trap catch of 45 moths per night, and we had no OFM damage in here. We also had that with the Autumn Royal, where we made two supplemental sprays in here and no FM damage. So this was taken out and worked with actual farmers, not using any broad-spectrum sprays. The only supplemental that we used in here was Intrepid. And I want to point that out, that some of these new materials that have now registered and two or three that are coming on in the future are as equally as effective as any of the insecticides that we have now for Oriental fruit moth. So I want you to, I've worked with these for many years. I want to point some of those out. This is Twig Strikes. Like I say, I've got 5 or 6 years data on this, and this represents that data. This is a Twig Strikes a month after treatment from Asana, Avant, Calypso, AltaCore. This one's not registered yet. Avant is not registered, though should be registered next spring. Intrepid, which is registered, this particular material is performed almost always at the top of the insecticide trials. Success here, our untreated treatment, and Delegate, which is another form of success, and it was has just been registered. Delegate, of course, is extremely effective, as is Success on peach twig borer, probably a little less so on Oriental fruit moth as Success is. Anyhow, Delegate seems to be almost equal to that. But I want to point out this Intrepid, and there's a lot of data on codling moth that shows that it's very good as it's an insect growth regulator that impacts the hatching from the egg and the molting of the insect. So this has implications on volatile organic compounds, because all these newer materials are not considered as volatile organic compound emissions, and there's solid data that shows there's efficacy with their use. And I would encourage any of you to begin to experiment with these, not to change your program whole one time, but put a tank or two of some of these newer materials on if you feel a little unsure, and try to just evaluate, even at harvest, the difference in controls between that and what you may be using now. Some of you, I'm sure, are using some Intrepid or Success currently. Okay, so this is Arvin, California, about as far south as you're going to get for peaches, except for pear blossom area. And this is the first few years, I think this is the late 80s, that we were doing mating disruption and hanging hangings of that. And that is the moth trap and our pheromone traps based in that mating disruption orchard. This happens to be the moth trap in the same variety in an orchard about a half a mile away from it, owned by the same farmer. Your wintering flight, the second flight, the third flight, the fourth and fifth flight of OFM. Now, you probably have only four flights here. This is as much pressure as you're going to get. And I want you to just take a look at the comparison here. And this has been the issue with Oriental fruit moth in a mating disruption orchard. You can't monitor the traps because those traps are shut down by the disruptant on every tree. In this case, it was every 400 per tree. I think we're going about 150 right now. So, monitoring Oriental fruit moth. You can use a pheromone trap, you can use a bait bucket trap, and you can use twig strikes. The one caveat with twig strikes is that you have to make sure it's not peach twig borer. And again, most of you are doing such an effective job on controlling twig borer. Almost 98% of the moths that are the larvae we found are OFM in these twig strikes. I want to give you the formula here if any of you are interested in doing this. I'm actually trying to develop, putting in a grant to try to develop an easier, more easily maintained bait bucket that can monitor OFM. One of the techniques I'm looking at is some of these aerosol wick air fresheners, and maybe putting that wick with the bait in that and letting it emit and put that in the middle of a pheromone trap. But right now we're using 5 quarts of water, 1 pound of brown sugar, and it does have to be brown sugar. Experiments have shown that brown sugar is much more effective than white or processed sugar. 2.5 mils of terpenyl acetate, it's a product that goes in some of the perfumes, and 2 drops of some kind of emulsifier. Now, I know terpenyl acetate is not the easiest thing to get a hold of. We've actually gone through the perfume manufacturers and have gotten the product. You can go through chemical manufacturers, but I'm going to make it available to each of the farm advisors in the counties here, and it doesn't take very much. If you want to try this trap and utilize it, you can either contact me, or I'd suggest just going through Max or Roger or Joe for that information, for that material. Okay, and this is what you get. You get both moths, both sexes of moths trapped in a bait bucket. And if you maintain the trap cleanly, you'll be able really to separate. One of the negatives, you do get some other species, but once you get a feel for looking at OFM in these traps, it's pretty easy to do. I'm going to have a field day at Kearney in trapping these and identifying them, and I'd be happy to come up into this area if we do a spring field day and show what these look like in a pheromone trap, what these moths look like. Okay, so this is a block that I've been working with Scott on, actually parasite establishment, and it shows the catch of oriental fruit moth. This is not in, there's no mating disruption. There's been no mating disruption in this orchard for almost 5 years. Isn't that right, Scott? It's 4 or 5 years. And this is the light blue is the mating or the trap catch in our pheromone traps. This is the trap catch in the average per week in our bait buckets. You can see the overwintering flight. Look at that stretch here. It's almost from March to the middle of April. I'd shift it back a couple of weeks for you. This is the next flight. This is the key flight in determining whether you need a supplemental spray. This is the work that Dick Rice has done in establishing a treatment guideline. And we've always based it on this flight. It's easy to discern, and we try to make our application between 500 and 600 degree days. So if you need to make a supplemental spray, this is the real key one. It doesn't mean you can't utilize it later, but one of these generations. And in fact, that late August Royal or Autumn Royal block, we actually spread, he had such a problem the previous year that we put two applications within one generation. And I think that might be an approach to use. We used Intrepid at 200 degree days and then again at 500 degree days and covered a whole generation in addition to what the mating disruption does. Now, this is the moth capture in a mating disruption orchard. So if you look at this flight, this is what we caught in the bait buckets. This is actually an old friend of Ed and I, went to school with Ed and I, Ty Parkinson. And we based our decision here at 45 moths per trap per night. And within a week of that, we put a supplemental spray. And this is what we caught in our pheromone traps. Nothing through the season but what we were catching in our bait bucket traps. So it's a good indication. Even if you don't use this as a treatment threshold, you can utilize it to establish the time for most effective treatment. Through timing. So if you overlap what we caught in our bait bucket traps in on the station where no mating disruption is, the lighter line here, versus about 2 miles away, maybe 3 miles away, what we caught in Ty's orchard, which is under mating disruption, you can see those flights are almost identical. So again, it's just a way of validating that what we're getting in mating disruption and non-mating disruption orchards are pretty similar. So this is what we did with Ty's work, where we had, that must have been a different orchard, that's not Ty's orchard. This is the O'Henry block where we put our supplemental spray in here. You can see we reached that 45 moths per trap per night in the overwintering. This is the second flight. We made our treatment based on that decision there. You can do this at any time, and it came out very effectively. We didn't have any damage in there. So, little things that you can do. This refers to the generation that we trapped or the dates that we trapped OFM. This is the number of males that we caught in there. This is the number of females, and this is the total number in a bait bucket trap. It allows us as researchers to determine whether the moths are mated or not. I don't think any farmer is going to do this, but a pest control advisor that might want to get a better handle on whether the moths are mated in a mating disruption orchard could do this on a selective basis. This is I wanted to point this out because this is the work done with Bill Chandler, and this was really key. In 2004, these are the females that we trapped in that orchard in a in our bait pans, and we decided to make two supplemental sprays in here. We came in with mating disruption in addition to those two supplementals, and this was our population in 2005. Now, this isn't replicated. It's from one year to another, but I think it does give you an underlying understanding of what's going on in a particular orchard. I also want to point out that you don't need to do this on a large scale. You pick and choose orchards that might have a problem. You may only need one or two orchards using a bait bucket to identify what the flight of those moths are to help you make decisions on sprays and other orchards. We've trapped baiting moths in orchards under different mating disruption. This is Isomate and Cetera for Summer Lady. The number of moths, August Lady, Isomate and Cetera, Red Diamond, Isomate, this is Nectarine, and Cetera moth catch. So it allows you to get a pretty good idea. So this is, again, not something that you necessarily do. The other technique is to utilize probably the easiest technique you can do is utilize strike counts. And what you want to do is train your eyes. I talk about fishing, I talk about hunting a lot. You know, any of you that have hunted or fished, you focus your eyes on, you adapt your eyes to what you're looking for. You train your eyes to look for trout in a stream, or if you're deer hunting, you train your eyes to look for that silhouette of the animal. You do the same thing with this sort of thing. You train your eyes to look at the terminal growth. You can go to the center of the tree or the tops of some of these trees, and you want to see that this is when your first instar first goes in. That just bends down. It just wilts almost immediately. And that actually was the initial way of determining the treatment for oriental fruit moth when DDT and parathion were used. Just as that wilting would first occur, that indicates the larvae are there. When you get this, when you have larvae into a twig like this, it means mating's occurred. I mean, it just decided to go into that twig instead of a fruit, and this happens with the first two generations. And certainly if you're getting three or four of these strikes per tree and a mating disruption in that overwintering generation, you need to put a supplemental spray in there, particularly with the clings. And if you looked at when you did this, you try to do it at the end of each flight. Here, overwintering flight, we took it just before the second flight here. We had a very low count. This is actually in Scott's orchard where we have the parasite established, no other sprays. Our second flight, then we come in and do a mating twig strike. This is represents the number of strikes per tree. So about every three trees, we find a strike here. And by the time we got to the third flight, we were finding a little over five strikes per tree. By then, the fruit had been harvested and no supplemental sprays were needed. But it is a good, easy method to do it. And most of you do your own work here. It's not like some of the other areas, larger operations, and I know there are a lot of large operations here, but I know most of you actually farm and do your own work. You're out in your own orchard, and you're able to see this. It's also a nice way to refresh your marriage, to take your wife out into the orchard and have her count twigs strikes with you. You know, it opens that up for conversation. It's something that really brings you closer together as a family. So I know my wife and I have been... never mind. But we utilize that with... this was a year that Ty did not... Okay, the blue represents strikes per tree, and the red represents damage at harvest, the red bar. This was 2000... 6 when Ty decided not to treat that orchard. Right before, this was in early August, we had 18.48 strikes per tree. We came in at harvest, we had 5.7% damage. The following year, we utilized the bait pans and twig strikes, and we brought that down to no damage. But I want you to see the relationships between twig strikes here, right at harvest, and harvest damage. It's pretty darn close. So again, it's a good method of doing it. Some of you may already be doing this intuitively and have your own kind of keys established to that. I'm going to skip that. Just an idea here of the relationship between twig strikes per tree and bait bucket catches per month. It's not real close, but you will see where you have more twig strikes. You tend to, particularly on later harvested stuff, you begin to catch more in the bait buckets. Neither one of those two would require supplemental spray. So the question becomes, can bait pans and twig strikes indicate the need for sprays? I think they can. I mean, I feel confident in it. I've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. But the key here is making sure that that PTB is not one of the animals that you're counting if you're using twig strikes. We don't have a true threshold currently. I'm using 3 strikes per tree found in June for fruit harvested in July up to early August. If I find 3 strikes per tree, I'm going to treat that. 50 moths in addition to the mating disruption. I'm using right now 50 moths per trap per week in June as an indication, or earlier. Anytime I get 50 moths per trap per week in a bait bucket, I'm considering a supplemental sprays. The bait buckets right now do require a lot of time. Every week you go in, you've got to change that, make sure they're clean. Invariably, I notice a lot of you guys have beards here. You're going to get those coated with this bait. I used to have a longer beard, and I did the same thing. You'd spill it on it, and then you'd have to go wash your face, and it's a pain. So they're not easy to use. But there is an advantage in determining mating status. And twig strikes are fairly quick and easy. And I think they're as reliable as the bait bucket. The only problem is you aren't able to determine your optimum timing. And I think, whoops, I'm sorry. Push the wrong button. I think that's it. I know some of you are working with Dan and Max and Roger on the parasite establishment. That is going very well. I want to make one other comment that I think we're going to be able to get a grant to work with demonstrations and implementation with Cling Peach farmers, and I would encourage any of you that are interested to talk to the farm advisor here, both Marshall Johnson and myself. Roger, Dan Rivers, and Max are all going to be involved in that, and I think we're going to end up getting that grant. I thank you again, and on my, not as part of the university, but from me to you, I want to wish you all a joyous Christmas season and a joyous New Year. So take care of yourself, and good luck this coming year.
Any questions, Mr. Walter?
Yes, sir.
Don't know that yet, but they pull, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to show that one trap. They pull from such a distance that I think you only need, if you maintain it right, I'd probably keep two going in general areas. I think you only need one per block, and that'll give you a really good idea. But because they pull so far, you're going to be pulling from you're going to be capturing moths from orchards that might be a half a mile away. Now that's probably good, because if they're mating and that they have the potential to move into your orchard, I think that's a good indicator of what may be happening in addition to what you've got in your own orchard. Yes, sir. No, it's per week. It's per week. You'll get a lot in some of these. It'll amaze you. Some years you'll go through and you won't catch 30 all year. And I don't think that's a function of the efficacy of the trap. I think that's actually function of the population within the orchard. One of the things that has that we're at such a competitive advantage here in this state. We don't have green peach aphid. We don't have plum curculio. So those are two key pests that in other peach-growing states have to be have organophosphate or carbamate used. When you do that, you take this parasite out of the program completely. With these new products, you do not harm Macrocentris, and that parasite will swing from year to year. Some years you have high populations. I really consider that the main limiting factor in over long-term population trends of that moss. Some years you won't get very many in there. But if you can utilize, that's the key in utilizing those softer. When I want to say softer, they're not disruptive. They are as effective as, say, Imidan or Asana in the growing season. I can say that, but you have to prove that to yourself. You have to use it in your own orchard. And what I say up here is not going to change you. I have confidence in them, though. Yes, sir, Bill.
Tell them why you have the
Oh, the sunflowers are here as an alternate host for Macrocentris. That parasite does not winter well on OFM. We found that it does winter on sunflower moth. And so we've planted these small acreage of sunflowers, about a third of an acre, to establish sunflower moth. And then in the spring, those parasitized sunflower moth, parasite emerges from that and moves into the orchard next to it. There are no sunflowers out at that time, so it immediately goes to oriental fruit moth. And again, we've discriminated with Scott's block. I don't think we've had over a tenth of percent OFM damage 4 years. It is an early harvested block. It's usually harvested by June 1st, but even our strike counts are relatively low in there. Yes, sir. Dan, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you back there. Yeah, it will, but the number of wild moths, they like that big head. I mean, if any of you grow sunflowers in your backyard, just go out and look at that. You'll see the little frass in the head of those, and there's so many. There's 80 to 90 in those, and in our experiments we found actual numbers in a large head. It's tough to find maybe one in every 10 heads in wild sunflowers, but they will overwinter. That moth will overwinter on wild sunflowers as well, or the parasite overwinter on the sunflower moth. Any other questions? Okay, I got to take off and get back. I'm going to try to write this grant up so I can do this monitoring, and it has to be in by tomorrow. So I'll see you all, and thank you again for having me. Take care of yourself.